Good morning from Harvest Christian Fellowship Church, Maple Ridge, on this beautiful, sunny February the 21st morning. We are blessed to have you listening to our devotional time in which we build up the saints to love and follow the Lord God with all their heart, with all their might, moment by moment. Let's join the congregation now as we sing that wonderful song, "There Is No God Like You."
My brother, here is my sunshine.
All right, would you please turn with me again and then in Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, 1. And last week we discovered the preamble to the call by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus to be followers of God. In this passage, it's very, very important that we understand that it's not the idea of following after as if you're walking behind, rather it's being imitators, discreet disciples who have a devotional directed following as we imitate and as we give out the same characteristics that God himself possesses. And so Paul the Apostle has already written, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And last week you might remember that we mentioned already that we were called to be imitators of him, as though we wanted everyone to see only Christ and not we ourselves. And that's the very simplistic call to servitude, following, or imitating God. You see, you and I have so many flaws and difficulties. We have so many parameters of disabled conduct. And when individuals see us, then they see imperfection. But Paul the Apostle here understands that if individuals are to come to Christ and to God and to the kingdom, that there has to be a higher order of calling, a higher standard by which people can measure the God life and have a God day instead of only a good day. And that comes as we imitate, live out God, his love, his grace, his mercy, his tenderheartedness, and his forgiveness, and then individuals see only him. So Paul the Apostle has now affirmed that we are the mirror of the living God. Now, Paul may not have known what they call the social learning model for behavior by Albert Bandura, but let me read what he says. This Albert Bandura emphasizes learning by observation rather than through direct reinforcement. Children learn how to behave by observing the consequence of the behavior of other people. For example, learning to hit or not to hit other children on the playground comes primarily by observing that children that do hit others receive negative consequences themselves, while those who are being hit are reprimanded and shamed. Social learning theory also emphasizes that children learn from the modeling of people who are important in their lives. Parents are roles, influencing their children in both positive and negative ways by their actions. Comparison of direct learning and indirect learning demonstrates that the latter, observation and imitation, is the stronger of the two in influencing later behavioral trends. As children's behavior is changed, so social learning theorists have discovered, their lifestyle and social association also changes radically, either to the positive or negative, as they have been influenced. And so, as we have been directly influenced by Christ, being born again, new people in him, followers of God, God can say to us, do this and do that and do this and do that, and give us a string of legislative conduct. Or he can say, see me and follow me, learn of me. And from the social learning skills here, it says that it's much easier for children to learn as they see and observe and understand the character rather than having a whole list of do's and don'ts laid out for them. And Christ and God have called us to a following of him so that we may learn of him and that we may imitate all that he has both said and done. Now, what does God reflect into our lives that we can learn of him by observing him? Well, first of all, we can learn of righteous living. Paul the Apostle has already told us that we have been called to be different from this world. He has said that once we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Once we were alienated from the commonwealth of grace. Once we were outside the commonwealth of Israel. Once we were dead and lost in our sins. But by coming to God and seeing His character of righteousness and holiness and purity, we have been brought into Him to understand, to be changed to righteousness or right living. You know, the ungodly very, very frequently have no problem with lying or cheating or being unethical or doing anything that falls within their good pleasure. But because God is righteous and He is holy, you and I, as we imitate the character of God, as soon as we do something wrong, or at least with me, if I'm unethical or unkind, my conscience pricks me, and I know that I'm not living up to the standard that I see in God Himself. And that's what Paul is writing about. To follow God, then, is to see in Him all the full character of right conduct, right path, right living, right friends, right associations, and right hope. The call to follow God by Paul here is a continuous invitation. We never become stable enough to stand on our own. In Ephesians, Paul says that we are to put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to withstand all the attacks of Satan, and having done all, to stand in Christ. In our own fleshly conduct, in our own humanity, we are not strong enough because we are still touched by sin and the consequence of sin. But as we rest in God, walking circumspectly with our eyes focused only on Him, the attachments of sin and the cunning devices of Satan by which we are ensnared or crippled into following the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are curtailed, and they have very, very little effect on us. Watch those Christians that do not have a draw or an affinity to following after God. Their life is consumed with waffling back and forth. There is very little stability, very little joy, very little excitement, and very, very little of a future. But when we see those who are strong in the Lord, who are continuously, determinately, in a devotional manner, following after God, there is something, a distinctive glow, a welcoming spirit, that you want to be with them, and you want to follow them as well, because they're following the living God. Amen? My biggest thrill in life would be to sit down with Billy Graham and have a coffee with him and not say a word, but just look in his face and see Billy Graham as an imitation of following God totally, unreservedly, continuously, with strong affection that nothing, absolutely nothing else mattered to him except following God. In his book that he wrote just recently, someone asked him, "Billy, what would you change if you could change your life?" And here's what he said. "I think I would have changed three things. The very first thing that I would have done is I would never have called my association the Billy Graham Association. The second thing," he said, "I would have done if I could have lived life over again," he said, "I would have spent more time with Ruth and taken her on more trips." And he said, "The third thing that I would have done, I would have tried to purify my mind that the only thing that I could think of in everything I did was on knowing what God would have done and what He would have had me done, instead of worrying about what I should have done and could have done." Because he said, the map to success is given clearly, succinctly, and finally in Paul's writing, be followers of God. And so if life is complicated, if life is weary, if life is difficult, if life is strained, if life is futile, you can change the whole picture in moments of time by starting to follow God. Following God entails humility so that we can bring ourselves under His hand, so that in due time He can exalt us and embellish us with His full glory, that Shekinah glory of blessing, that all is well with us, because all is well between us and Him. If you are born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, if you find yourself fully forgiven, standing free in His grace and mercy, tenderheartedness and forgiveness, then I want to let you know that the more you humble yourself under the hand of the Almighty, the more opportunity He has to exalt you and to exalt you and to exalt you. Paul the Apostle writing says this, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that you ever might think or do, unto Him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus." And of course, the Him there is God, God Himself. "Now unto God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you could ever ask or think." And so, my life has been consumed with that exceeding abundant anticipation of what God is going to do next. It was such an exhilarating opportunity to go to the Olympics, to be there in the presence of these giants of the sport, and to see them with great excitement and diligence and pervasive commitment do that skating. And I thought to myself, if I was on those skates, I would make it for the first push-off and I'd fall. But they did very, very well. But it was more exciting on the SkyTrain coming home. It was just exhilarating to see God do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. So we get on the SkyTrain, and a man is standing there. And of course, because of my attachment to being friendly, I said, "Hello, good morning." And he said to me, "Good morning." I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "From Bergen, Norway." And I said, "I'm going to have coffee with you in August." And he said, "Oh?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm coming to your front door on the boat." He said, "Oh, yes. They always come, the cruise ship." So we got talking, and I gave him my email address. Standing beside him was a man and a lady from Manitoba, and we got talking to them. And here they know the man that presently owns Donna's parents' farm. And they were born again Christians. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship in the Lord, in the Holy Spirit. And that was one of God's exceeding abundant, above all I could ever ask or think, thrills for my life. Praise the Lord. Amen? So, my friends, if you want to be great in the kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Most of all, learn to be God's servant as you humbly, willfully, continuously, determinately follow Him. What a joy to have Sharon here. And, you know, I'm glad that we took the council, Doug, to go and get the game to the mayor first, to go to Bobby Socks to have lunch and to meet Sharon and her mother there after her mother's ring fell off. And we got talking to them, and they're here in church today. Isn't this an exceeding abundant above all we could ever ask or think? Going to a restaurant, meeting these fine people, and having them in church here? Praise the Lord. I told the pastor that last week, and he started to cry. He said, "You mean it's that simple?" I said, "It's that simple. Following God. Following God. Following Him." Amen? We need to remember that everything we possess in our faith is in Him, by Him, through Him, and for Him. So following God should not be a demanding, onerous obligation. It should be the pleasure of our heart to the praise of His glory. Notice, Jesus said, "I have come to do the will of the Father," and to His disciples He said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Christ was a follower of God. We too then have no greater aspiration than to follow God and Him alone. To follow Him and Him alone. Jesus has a special interest in you and I. The same interest that He said to His disciples. And the charge is simply this, that as you follow Me, it must be a devotional, it must be a determined, it must be a desperate, and it must be a singular focus. Notice when He called the disciples, He says, now when Jesus said to the great multitudes, He saw them standing there, and He said, as He was going to depart to the other side, let us go across. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. And another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow Me, and let the dead bury the dead. Following Jesus may bring about a radical, unexpected life change in your life. And when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm so glad that when I was in my family of 16 children, with my mother, who was a powerhouse of authority, I am so glad that my mother, even though some of my family are angry with her, that she reinforced the biblical understanding of God as the head of our family, that she took us to church. We walked 9 miles to church sometimes, over the Petula Bridge to go to church, walked home, and then went back to church in the evening. We went to the street meetings on Saturday night. We had family devotion and prayer every morning, and we knew the living God. As Ted says, I knew my God. I knew my God. And there was a definitive declaration within my heart that nothing, absolutely nothing, would ever matter. And I remember when I received the gift of evangelism, how determinedly I was given over to telling people about God. And I remember when I was in high school, in the foster home, 7.5 miles away, how I used to walk to church every Sunday through rain, sleet, and snow, just to hear the Word of God and come under leadership of Art Bell and Ross Whiteman and other pastors that were very, very good to me. And I remember when I graduated how the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, because I knew my God, that I should do nothing but go to Bible school and train for ministry. And I knew that as I left the foster home and as I started to live my life, that I only had one knob on the log of life as it went down the river of actualization to hold on to. And it was Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit to direct my life. And I knew that when I was going through my crisis of my divorce, that if I trusted God, He would work things out. And I told you about my friend Daryl Anderson, how he brought me into a relationship with Daryl Anderson, and he carried me for 5.5, 6 years. And when I was at the end of the divorce and I wanted to get married, how God directed me to meet Martha. It was such a strange thing how I was in the pantry in New Westminster and I was going to have a coffee there in my friend's restaurant. And at 10:45, the Holy Spirit said, get up and go to the restaurant on Kingsway. I turned to my friend and I said, Joel, the Lord's telling me to get up and go to the pantry on Kingsway. I need $10. He said, what's wrong with my coffee? I said, I need $10. He gave it to me. And while I was going to the pantry on Kingsway, Martha and people were sitting there to leave because it was cold. And when I walked in, I met them right on time. Right on time. I remember one time when Donna and Martha and John and I were friends. We were coming across the Petula Bridge. And the Holy Spirit said to me distinctly, go see John and Donna. Distinctly. And I said, Martha, we've got to go see John and Donna. And when we got to their house, at the very same time that God spoke to me to go and see John and Donna, Donna and John had left the doctor's office. And they walked down towards where we presently live, about a 5-minute walk. A 5-minute distance for us to travel. When we got there, they had just got the news that John had cancer. And we were the first persons to be there by the direction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit directed my life. And then after at John's funeral, we found out Martha was dying, and Donna looked after her. And here Donna and I are married, all because we followed the directions of God. And my life was radically changed. I expected to be single all my life. And here God has blessed me with opportunities beyond my distinctive understanding. I don't know what the challenge in your life is. I don't know where you expect to be tomorrow or in 10 years. I don't expect any of us to be able to calculate that. But I do know this, that if you clearly, distinctively, devotionally follow God, He may take you where you least expect. John, when you were on those boats many, many years ago, you didn't expect to be in Maple Ridge in this church, did you?
No, I thought you'd ask me in the sun in Australia.
But you're happy to be here this morning. Look, you see, my brothers, none of us expected to be here, right? But God, by the providential care and grace of God, His love, called us to follow Him. And He radically changed our life. And then in closing, following God may be a new consumption that transforms us to be new people to ourselves and totally different to those that we have contact with. Some years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant in California, in San Diego. A man came walking in, and he was in a fit to be tied. He had had a big fight at work, and he had gone into the tavern across the street, and he had drunken himself into a semi-stupor where he barely knew himself or where he was at. And as we were sitting in this restaurant in San Diego, he stumbled in and he fell across the table where we were sitting at, and I put my arms around him and I helped him sit down, and Martha said to me, let's give him a cup of coffee. So we gave him a cup of coffee and I bought him a meal, hoping that this would help him out. And he was mumbling and jumbling and everything else, and finally I said to Martha, why don't we just get him a room upstairs and let him sleep tonight, and we'll come back in the morning. The hotel manager knew this man, and he said to me, he said, sir, anything you're going to do for him is not going to be of any help. And so I said, well, sir, let's just sit and let him enjoy his meal. And we must have sat for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and he started to sober up a bit, and he started to talk to me. All he told me was that his name was Phil, and that he was a mechanic, and that he had had a big fight at his job, and he was going to quit and everything else. And I said, well, why don't you sleep on it and meet us for breakfast tomorrow morning? We had our room in the hotel upstairs. So the next morning, as he promised, I don't know how he got there, but he was there. And we gave him breakfast and we talked to him. And I left him my name and I prayed for him. And I said, why don't you write me a letter sometime whenever you feel up to it? And he wrote me a letter. And all he put on the letter was, to whomsoever. Because he didn't even know my name. And I wrote to him. And I sent him a tract. And I sent him an invitation to go to a small Baptist church in San Diego that a friend of mine was pastoring. This friend went to school with this boy, now a man. When he walked into the church, he couldn't believe that the pastor of this church was his school buddy. This school buddy, pastor, was one of the most riotous individuals this man had ever met. He went to church, became a Christian, and he's on the pastoral staff of the same church with his friend almost 20-some years later because of the Holy Spirit. God, by the Holy Spirit, may make your life so radically different that others, too, may become radically different. It may take a sense of humility for you to empty yourself out, but by emptying yourself out to be filled with God, as you see Him in His fullness, others too will be seeing the living God in His fullness through all that you say and do. And they, through the rippling of the water of grace and mercy, tenderheartedness and forgiveness, will also be changed, all to the praise of His glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. I trust this week will be a glorious week in the Holy Spirit, and that God's presence will go with you, and that your needs will be met all according to His riches and glory, through Christ Jesus. God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesimer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.